All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's Daf is Samech Vav. A lot to do today. Our shiur this morning is dedicated by Mrs. Lydia Berman in commemoration of the Artzeit of her son, Sheldon Berman, Shmuel Yoel Ben Shalom Tuvia. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah and the family in the Chama. We'll say with that, let's begin. We left off. Today's Daf is Samech Vav, 66. And we are picking up Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. It is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines down from the top. So remember again, we are in the middle of the sugya trying to figure out the machlokes between the Rabbanon and the Stukim about the date of Shavuos, or more specifically, when the counting of the Omer begins. So we saw already yesterday a number of different drushas going to this particular point. We saw the conversation with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and the head of the Zakim, one of the Zakim of the Stukim. So at that we begin. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Kasuv Echad Omer, Sheishes Yamim Tocha Matzos. Because of Echad Omer, Shivas Yamim Matzos Toch Elu. So we'll say a very interesting, not contradiction, but two different psukim. So which one is it? Am I eating matzos for 6 days, or am I eating matzos for 7 days? To which Rabbi Shimon Elazar says something fascinating. Hakei, but matzos she'i ato yachol la'ochlo shiva min achadosh, ato yachol la'ochlo shisha min achadosh. So also this is amazing. So Rabbi Shimon Elazar says that it's actually two different ideas. You eat matzah for 7 days, but there's a type of matzah that you can only eat for 6 days, and you can't eat for 7 days. What's the type of matzah which can only be consumed for 6 days and not 7 days? Matzah from Chadash. We'll say from Chadash, ultimately meaning what? Remember again, Chadash represents the new crop of grain, which began to grow since last Pesach. You bring the Karban Omer, and that is Matir Chadash. So therefore, again, we'll say, only after you bring the Karban Omer do you have the ability to consume the matzah from Chadash. So from here you see what? Chadash is consumable, or I should say the Chadash becomes Yashan for 6 out of the 7 days of Pesach, which tells you that when is the Karban Omer brought? On the 2nd day of Yom Tov. Good. Miyom Aviachem Tisperu. Suppose the Pasuk says, Miyom Aviachem Tisperu. So from the day that you bring the Karban HaOmer, you shall count the Omer. Yochol Yiktzor V'Yovi. I might have thought that you can go ahead and cut down the Omer and bring the Karban. Ve'masai She'yirtze Yispor. And you can begin to count whenever you want to begin to count. Talmud Omer. Therefore the Pasuk says, Me'achel Chermesh Bekamo. Tachel Yispor. Pasuk says, literally again, when the sickle goes ahead and cuts down the standing grain, that's when you will begin to count. We'll say it from the pasuk that says, from the time the sickle cuts down the standing grain, you could begin, right? Yachol yiktzor v'yispor. I might have thought, I cut down the grain, begin to count, ve'imasai she'yirtze yavi, and whenever you want to bring the carbon, you could do so. Talmud lomar v'yom aviyachem. Therefore, the pasuk says, no, you have to go ahead and what? You have to go ahead and bring the carbon from the day that you bring it. If it would have just said, Yom Aviachem, Yochol Yiktzar V'Yispor V'Yavi Bayom, I might have thought that I should cut down the Omer, begin the count, and bring the carbon by day. Maybe everything is done by day. Talmud Lomar, Sheva Shabbosos Timimos Tihiyena. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says, you shall count 7 complete weeks. A masai atamose sheva shabbosos timimos. When do you find 7 complete weeks? Bizman sha'atamaschil limnos mi ba'erev. When you begin counting only by night. So this is actually a very interesting halacha. The din of timimos, right? The din of counting 7 complete weeks is only accomplished when? If you begin counting at night. Yachol yiktzor v'yavi v'yisbar ba'layla. So I thought maybe I should cut down the omer, bring the carbon, and begin to count at night. Talmud lomar miyom haviyachem. Therefore, the pasuk says the hava, the bringing of the carbon, is in fact accomplished at night. So haketzad. So we'll say, how do I reckon? So we'll say, if you notice, by the way, what the Gemara is highlighting over here is that by the carbon of Omer, there are essentially 3 parts. There is the harvesting of the Omer, there is the counting of the Sfira, and there is the offering of the Karban. So we're trying to reconcile both sides. What is done when? What is done when? Now, because they're all mentioned in the same pasuk, I might have thought they should all be done at the same time, but it apparently appears to be clear that they're not. Counting has to be tmimos. Tmimos is only accomplished if what? If done at night. Because if you count at night, then you're counting complete day units. Karbanos are not brought by day, so that has to be done by day. The harvesting sounds like it's being done by night. So how do I reconcile all of this? Haketzad, katsira usfira balayla. The cutting down, everyone said this is the halacha lemaisa. The cutting down and the cutting down of the barley, the sira, the counting of the days, balayla. All of that is done at night. Vahava, but the actual bringing of the carbon, bayom. That, we'll say, is actively done by day. So it says the Gemara Amar Rabba. So we'll say, so that, again, no surprise, that is the halacha lemaisa. Harvesting is done at night. The counting begins at night, but the actual bringing of the carbon is done by day. Amar Rabba. Kulu islu pircha, bar mitarti tana basra b'masnisa kamaisa, bein b'masnisa basraisa, the last little pircha. So we'll say, Rava says as follows. So we'll say, if you notice again, almost all of Amud Beis yesterday, and the beginning, and the truth is, and the Gemara up until this point, was comprised of a series of drushos, which were designed to prove the fact that halacha lemaisa, the Karban Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach. Okay? To which now the Gemara says, Rava says, all of the drushas that were brought up until this point have a pircha, have some type of refutation, with the exception of the two of them that were brought in the first Mishnah and the second, or the first Brisa and the second Brisa. So we'll say now what the Gemara is going to do is very simply go through all of the various pirchas, all the various refutations of the different limudim. So here we go, we'll say. So the Gemara says, Imid Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. See if you want to say it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So let's remember again, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was one of the first ones. He was the one who said, the Pasuk says, Tisperu Chamishim Yom, and it says, Sheva Shabbasos Tamimos. It says you should count 50 days, and then it also says what? You should count 7 complete weeks. Now, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, we assume weeks means what, Rabbi Yochanan? Week doesn't just mean 7 days. What does a week mean? Sunday through Shabbos. That's a week. So how do I reconcile that? 50 days almost, it tells me I can start to count whenever I want. 7 weeks seems to indicate to me that what? That Allah HaMaisa, it's 7 complete weeks starting from a Sunday. How do I reconcile that? So remember again, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, it depends when the second day Pesach falls out. Or I should say when the first day Pesach falls out. If the first day Pesach falls out on a Shabbos, then Ein Achinami, we will count 7 complete weeks until Shavuos. If the second day Pesach falls out during the week, then what? Then Halacha Lamaisa, we will go ahead and count 50 days. To which the Gemara says, Imid Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Dilma Kida Abaye, Damra Abaye, Mitzvah Lemimne Yomei, so we'll say, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sheet does not arise. Why? Because if it was from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, maybe he holds like Abaye, and Rabbi Yochanan Abaye holds that it is a mitzvah for Sfiras Omer to count both weeks and days. That's why the Torah phrases the obligation as an obligation to count weeks and days. E mid Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, and if you want to say it's like Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua said, Mimai Dibi Yom Tov Rishon Kai. How do I know that the pasuk is referring to Yom Tov Rishon? Maybe the pasuk is telling me to count from Yom Tov Acharon Kai. Rabbi Shaul Rabbi Yehuda, so we'll say the Gemara is just going and bringing up the pirchas, bringing up the potential refutation in all of the various positions. He said the Gemara says Rabbi Shaul, the Rabbi Shaul Rabbi Yehuda Meseira, less lo pircha. But when it comes to the sheet of Rabbi Shaul Rabbi Yehuda Meseira, their particular limudim stand, and there is no pircha. E mid Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda, and if we were bringing down the sheet of Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda, hava mina dilma. Perhaps I will say the 50 days excludes the 6 days of Pesach itself. And if it was from Yehuda ben Beseira, maybe what? Maybe it excludes Yom Tov Rishon and it's talking about Yom Tov Acharon. Rabbi Yossi Nami Chazi Le Pircha. So ultimately, Rabbi Yossi saw Pircha in his own Shita, and that's why Vahainu Deka Amar Va'od. That's why Rabbi Yossi himself brings an additional limud. Fine. So we'll say, so therefore again, the Gemara, we're gonna bring this together in just a moment in the Rambam, but therefore the Gemara says, or even though we saw multiple proofs, ultimately again, to prove this same idea, that in fact the Sfira, or I should say the Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach, all of them have some type of pircha, with the exception of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Huda ben Beseira. Gufa, so I'll say, going back to what we just said before, Amar Abaye said, Mitzvah l'mimnei yomei, u'mitzvah l'mimnei shivuei. So we'll remember again, as we said before, that Abaye said, that when it comes to the Sfira, this is now moving away from the actual carbon, but moving ultimately again to the counting of the Omer. Abai says there is a mitzvah to count days, and there is a mitzvah to count weeks. Count days and count weeks. To which the Gemara says, Rabbanon debi Ravashi, manu yomi omani shavuei. The Rabbanon of Ravashi's yeshiva will say, they counted both days and weeks. So Ameimar, Mani yomi v'lo mani shvuei. But Ameimar, on the other hand, he only counted days, but did not count weeks. Why not? So we'll say, so here's what's interesting. Remember, this counting days and counting weeks seems to be based on what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai brought up before, which is that the Torah tracks two ways to count the Sfira, right? 7 weeks and 50 days. Why does it have to say both? So Bepashtos, Abai is saying, because it's coming to teach you have to count both days and weeks. So the Gemara is just pointing out that Ameimar said, yes, indeed, you count days and weeks. However, on the other hand, the Rabbanon counted both days and weeks. Ameimar counted days, did not count weeks. Why not? Amar, Zecher LeMikdash. So we'll say this is actually very interesting. He said, Zecher LeMikdash, what does it mean? Look at Rashi. Ameimar mani yomi velo shavui. Amar hai min yon dahashta. That which we count today, presently, in the absence of a Beis HaMikdash, lav chovahu. Ameimar said, it is not an obligation. Dahashta, lav chovahu, dahaleka omer, because there is no covenant. So we'll say, Ameimar said, the counting of the Sfira is linked to the bringing of the Karban Omer. Therefore, in the absence of the Karban Omer, Ameimar said, there is no biblical obligation to count. The obligation that we have is rabbinic. Ela zecher lemikdash ba'almohu. The reason we count Sfira Tirabosa is simply zecher lemikdash. To remember that which was done in the Beis HaMikdash, it is not a biblical obligation. Because it is not a biblical obligation, Ameimar simply said, all you have to do is count weeks, days, you need not count weeks. And this is Shitas Ameimar. So we'll say, this actually is very important, because if you take a look at Tosis, Tosis points out to where Zecher LeMikdash. So remember, Ameimar is saying, the Sira today, contemporarily, is Dirabbanon, Zecher LeMikdash, in the absence of the Sira. Therefore, says Tosis, Nira, Debesafik Chashecha Yochal Levarich, we'll say, Satosa says, by the way, and we'll say, this is how we paskin. We paskin that halacha l'maisa, the Sfira today is drabonon. See, now, again, we don't paskin like Ameimar, we count both days and weeks, but we accept the premise that counting of Sfira today is a counting dirabanan, right? Is a rabbinic mitzvah. Zecher LeMikdash. We remember that which was done in the Beis HaMikdash. Tosa says, there's a number of very interesting things that come up as a result of this. Which is what? Which is that halacha l'maisa, if you went ahead and you're not sure, right? There was safek chashecha. You're not sure, is it dark? Is it not dark? You could still go ahead and count Sfira, and even count with a bracha. Why? Because he holds it's a safek dirabanan. Va'odabar dafilu biyom samach lechashecha adif mishum tmimos kedamrin alael veinira. So Tosis goes on. Tosis says not like that. That doesn't make any sense because that's not really a safek. Ultimately, in the midst of Sira, that's a safek in the yom. But the point I'm just bringing up to you is we accept this premise halacha lemaisa that Sira today is dirabanan, and because it is dirabanan, because it is rabbinic in nature, that yields ultimately again many different kulos when it comes to Sira. Now, I'll just show you something interesting. If you look at the end of that long Tosis says, Old Pasuk Balachos, last four lines, Old Pasuk Balachos Gidolos, Shim Hifsik Yom Echad, Velo Siper, if you missed a day of Sfira, Shuv Eino Sofer, you do not count anymore. Why? Mishum Debayet Mimos. because the Bahag says you require the count to be complete, and obviously if you're missing a day, the count itself is no longer complete. So we'll say, so this is an interesting idea of the Bahag, right? So again, how do we paskin like this? So we know how we paskin. So we paskin like it, but we don't paskin like it. We paskin like it that if you miss a day of Sira, you're no longer going to count with a bracha, but we still allow you to count. We'll say, not only do we allow you to count, but it's actually a very common misconception that people think once they can't count with a bracha, so I'm out. It's not true. You're out with a bracha, but there's still an obligation to count even without the bracha itself. So again, there's a lot more to say on this, but essentially we accept the premise of a Meimar, but without his halachic application. Because a Meimar says the Seer today is Zecher LeMikdash, which indeed we accept, it is Zecher LeMikdash, it is only a Dirabanan, but halacha lemaisa, we still count days and weeks, plus we still count with a bracha. But because it is Dirabanan, it is in the event that you miss a day, so we accept this premise that you require to mimos, therefore you'll no longer count with a bracha, but you will in fact still continue the count. Good. So we'll say, there's actually a beautiful Rambam, which I don't know whether we're going to get to today. If we have time, we'll do it today. But the Mishnah now goes on with the process of the Omer. So we'll say, so just so you see where we're holding. At this point in time, we've cut down the barley. Now what's next? Says the Mishnah. Katsru, so they cut down the barley, vinasnu bakupos, and we put it in the receptacles. So now the barley is in the receptacle. So what happens? Heviu lazara, we bring it to the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, vahayu mahaf havin ba'oso ba'ar. And I will say they would roast the barley in fire. Kidei lekayim bo mitzvas kali. Because about say the pasuk talks about lechem kali v'karmel, so we'll talk about this. Because again, the Torah seems to indicate that the barley itself needs to be roasted before it's offered up on the mizbeach. Div Rabbi Meir. So we'll say these are the words of Rabbi Meir. Chum say no. He says bekanim ubakolchos choftinoso. First, what they would do is they would bring the stalks of barley and they would beat the stalks with kanim arids. We'll say kolchos, interestingly enough, are cabbage stalks of cabbage. Choftinoso. Now, why do they do that? Kadesh shalo yismaich. So it's interesting enough, what they would first do is, according at least to the Rabbanon, is they would go ahead and essentially beat the stalks of barley in order to extract the barley kernels. Now, they did it with these things, these reeds and these cabbage stalks, which are softer, because remember, again, the barley itself was still moist. After that, kadesh shalo yismaich, in order that you shouldn't crush the kernels. After that, once you got the kernels, nasnu la'abuv. So we'll say they would go ahead and they would put it in the abuv. What's an abuv? They will say an abuv, literally, if you've seen that word before, if it sounds familiar, abuv also means a flute, right? So interesting enough, if you look at Rashi, he says, nasnu la'abuv, kli shan l'choshes v'zeshmo. They will say, in fact, what this was some type of metallic cylinder, right? Literally made out of nechoshes. Some type of copper cylinder. They would place the barley kernels into this cylinder, v'haya menukav, and it had holes in the cylinder, k'dei sheyeha ar sholet kulo, in order that the heat should disperse amongst the entire cylinder. So we'll say, then, so what they would do is they would roast the barley kernels. So everybody's agreeing they're roasting the barley kernels. There's just a machlokas as to what the process is for roasting the barley kernels. Shatru ba'azara, so then they would go and spread it out in the azara, in the courtyard, v'haruach minashev esbo, and the wind would blow through it in order to go ahead and separate out any kind of leftover chaff. So nasnu l'rechayim shel grusos. They would then go ahead and what? Place the kernels into a mill. But I will say, what type of mill? A mill of grusos. Rashi says, grusos, haynu lashon grisin, shetochnin bahen pulin. Ve'emotzin ela klipa. But I will say, apparently, they would put it through a lentil mill. Now, the lentil mill, I will say, was, I guess, what you would call a coarse mill. The idea is it wouldn't grind things up into anything too fine. What it would just do is remove the external shell and any large impurities. So they would put it into Rechaim Shel Grusos, v'otzio mimenu isaron shehu menufa b'shlosh esrei nafa. And I will say, they would extract from that an isaron, or what would be an isaron, and then they would sift it 13 times. They were sifted 13 times in order to get fine barley flour. So I'll say, so fine. So now remember, as we're going to see, they were harvesting 3 sa'ah of barley, subjecting all of that barley to this process, in order to end up with 1 isaron of barley. Which leads to a very simple question, which is what? What do you do with the rest? So now, what do you do with the rest of the barley? Or now, again, in this case, it's now barley flour. What do you do with it? We'll say the remainder of the barley was essentially redeemed, because remember, again, it had to be redeemed because this was property of the Beis HaMikdash. So it had to be redeemed, and it could be redeemed by anyone. And then what? What do you do with it? What do you do with it? Whatever you please. Right? Once you redeem it from the Beis HaMikdash, you could do it with that barley flour, whatever you want. Vashar nifta v'ne'acha l'chol adam. Here's what's interesting. V'chayiv b'chalo. Now, that barley flour, that redeemed barley flour, will be chayiv and challah. Now, that is not a chiddush. When does the chiyuv of challah come about? When does the chiyuv of challah devolve upon an item? When? You know this from your own homes. When does the chiyuv of challah devolve upon an item? When it's a dough. So we'll say, so that's not a chiddush. You know, remember, let's play this out. The Beis HaMikdash now has this surplus barley flour. I purchase the barley flour from the Beis HaMikdash. I make my whole grain barley dough. So remember, again, once I redeem it from the Beis HaMikdash, we'll say, what's the status of that barley? It's mine. It's chulin. So now, what it's just saying is, when I take it home and I make my barley challah for that Shabbos, then ultimately, again, I have to take challah. Okay, so that there's no chiddush in that. The chiddush is in the next part. Upater min ha-meiser. So we'll say, the Rabbanon in the Mishnah say that that barley is forever Potter from Meisr. Look at Rashi. It's the second Y line at the bottom of Rashi. Upatra mina Meisrus. Listen to this. Dimeruachu biyat hekdish. Umeruach hekdish potra mina Meisr. So also listen to this. The Rabbanon holder will say that the Meisr status of an item is determined at what we call the Shas Miruach. Rabbanon will say Miruach is when you pile together grain. Miruach literally means the smoothing of the piles. The meiser identity of any particular grain is determined at the time that the grain pile is smooth. Both, let's play this out. At the time when this grain pile was smooth, what was the status of the grain? Hekdish. They both say anything belonging to the Beis HaMikdash is exempt from Trumas and Meisus. Trumas and Meisus is a din in privately owned property, privately owned grain, not a din in Beis HaMikdash owned grain. So listen to this. So the Rabbanon say, at the time that the pile of this barley was smooth, it belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, even though subsequently I bought surplus flour, that flour will be subject to challah, because it becomes subject to challah while it's in my domain, but is forever potter from Trumas and Meisus. Rabbi Akiva mechayev bechallah ube Meisus. Rabbi Akiva disagrees, and Rabbi Akiva says, no, not true. It will be chayiv in Trumas and Meisus. So we'll say it's a fundamental machlokes. Good. So let's see the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. So we'll say, let's understand this process. Aviv, so we'll say the pasuk that the Gemara is quoting over here is, Vintakriv minchas bikurim la'ashem. Aviv kalui ba'ish geresh karmel takriv es minchas bikurecha. So we'll say, so listen to this. So the Gemara says, Aviv, what does Aviv mean? Ze Aviv. That refers to Aviv. Okay, thank you. Says Rashi, Ze Aviv Kilomar Reishis Ketzir. This is referring, I'll say, to the beginning of the harvest. So we're going to see this pasuk is going to be a reference to the Karban HaOmer. So this refers to the fact that the Omer comes from the early stalks of grain. So Ze Aviv Kalui. What is Kalui? Ba'ish. Kaloi Ba'ish. It's roasted in the fire. We'll say, what does this mean? Melamei Shahayu Yisrael Mahav Havin Oso Ba'ish. So we'll say, we see over here, that's what. This is actually very interesting. That's when the barley was brought to the Beis HaMikdash, it's not the pshat that the kernels were extracted, it was ground up into flour and used, but rather, it first had to be roasted. So Mahav Havin Oso Ba'ish, Kedei Lekhayim Bo Mitzvas Kali. In order that you should fulfill the biblical obligation of Kali. Kali means roasted. Did Rabbi Meir. This is the words of Rabbi Meir. Chum say no. Hamad Ezer will say. Chum omrim. Ein or lashon Kali. Ella davar acher. So we'll say. So ultimately again, Kali doesn't mean that it's roasted by fire, but rather it means something else. Take a look at Rashi. Ein or lashon Kali. Ella davar acher. So the Gemara says. Mahafefin osob or mamish. Eino Nikra Kali. So also what we're going to see in just a moment, by the way, is that Rabbi Meir holds that you actively roast the barley on fire. Rabbi Meir, the Chammar, saying, we're not disagreeing that you have to go ahead and roast it, but you're not going to roast it on an open flame. Instead, how do you roast it? Ha Ketzad, Ein Lashon Kali Ela Dover Acher. So ultimately, again, Kali means it's being roasted, but it's being roasted in some type of item. What does that mean? Ha Ketzad, here we go. Abuv Shal Kalayos Hayasham. Both said there was this nechoshes, there was this copper cylinder, and what happened? Vahaya menukav kekibra. They would go out and they would put the barley kernels, the barley kernels into this cylinder, and it had holes like a sieve. Kadesha teha orsho letes bekulo, in order to allow the fire to go through the entire thing. And therefore, I will say they would roast the kernels inside of that. So, just a fundamental machlokes in the Chum and Ramirez, the same machlokes is saw in the Mishnah, as to how you roasted the barley. Everyone's agreeing you roast the barley. The Shaila just is it being roasted over an open flame, or is it being roasted in some type of cylinder? So the Gemara says as follows, Aviv Kalui Geresh. So let's say, so the Pasuk says, so Aviv teaches me that it comes from the early crop of the grain. Kaloi means it is roasted. And Geresh, we'll say, what does Geresh mean? So Geresh means coarsely ground. So we'll say, so the carbon omer is not a finely ground flour, but instead, ultimately, it is coarsely ground. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Eini yodea im aviv kaloi, im geresh kaloi. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. So what I don't know is as follows. So I have this phrase, aviv geresh kaloi. So we'll say, aviv kaloi geresh. So we'll say, the word kaloi, which means what? Kali, which means that it's roasted. What I don't know is, when is it roasted? Is it roasted aviv, or is it roasted geresh? Now what does that mean? Is it roasted before it's processed, or is it roasted ultimately again only after it's initially processed? So the Gemara says, "Eini yodea im aviv kaloi," or is it roasted right when it's harvested, im geresh kaloi, or is it roasted after it's initially processed? Kishu omer ba'ish, when the pasuk says ba'ish, hifsik ha'inyan. Then ultimately, you're going to say, what does that do? That goes ahead and splits up the pasuk. And as Rashi says, delo koi agerash. That ultimately, again, it's not referring to gerash. Fine. Carmel. We'll say, what does Carmel mean? So the Gemara, so we'll say, again, remember, this is all just breaking apart that same pasuk. Vim takriv minchas bikurim la'ashem, aviv kaloi ba'ish, geres carmel, takriv es minchas bikurecha. So what does Carmel mean? Rach umal. So also what that means is we're talking about barley that is rach, that is soft, umal. Mal means what? Mal means crushable. Crushable. There are two other words, the type of barley, as opposed to using dried barley, we're talking about using fresh barley. V'chinu omer, what's going to happen over here is now that the Gemara saw that this word Carmel is in fact a contraction of two words, we're going to see other instances where the Gemara, where the Torah, the Navi, uses this the contraction words. So the Gemara says, V'chinu omer, v'ish ba mibal shalisha. A man came from Baal Shalisha, Vayave the Isha Lokim Lechem Bikurim, Ve'esim Lechem Saorim, Vikarmel Bitsiklo No. Vayomer, Vayomar Tain La'am Vayochelu. Ba, Vayatsak Lanu, Vachalnu, Vinavehaya. So we'll say, the Gemara is over here quoting from the Pasuk, from Melochim Beis, when a man comes to the Navi Elisha, there is great famine, and this man comes along, and what does he come bringing? He comes from Baal Shalisha, and he brings to the man of God, Lechem Bikurim, he brings bread, 20 loaves of bread, Seorim B'Karmel B'Tziklono. So we'll say B'Tziklono literally means in his basket, right? In his basket, and in his bag. And Elisha tells him, give to the people, let them eat. He poured out from the bag for us, we ate it, and it was good. So the Gemara says, Va'omer nis. I'm sorry. So betsikluno b'asay is the contraction word over here. What is betsikluno? So I'm sorry. Va'omer tein la'am va'yochal. So b'asay. So Elisha said, give to the people and eat. What's the word siklono? Ba v'yotzak lanu. He poured it out of his bag for us. Va'achalu, and we ate it. Vinave haya, and it was very good. So we'll say that's the contraction of the word siklono. Siklono means yatsak, he poured it out for us. Achalnu, we ate it. And nave haya, and it was good. Okay, another contraction word. Va'omer. So we'll say furthermore again, the pasuk says, he's quoting over now the pasuk from Mishlei. L'cha nirva dodim adaboker nis'alsa ba'ahavim. What does that mean, nis'alsa ba'ahavim? Nasa, so they spoke. V'nasan, they gave. V'na'ale, they went up. V'nismach, they rejoiced. V'nischata ba'ahavim. And they went ahead and they sinned like lovers, or they sinned with acts of love. So we'll say, so that's the lashon of nis'alsa, is a contraction, referring to the two people engaging in an illicit, immoral act. Nasa, they spoke with each other. Nasa v'nasan, they went back and forth with words of immorality. Na'ale, they went up to the bed. Nismach, they rejoiced with each other. V'nischat, they sinned ba'ahavim, with acts of love. Va'omer, here I want to be clear. These psukim that we're quoting have absolutely nothing to do with our subject. They're just simply other words that represent contractions. Because ultimately, again, in our pasuk dealing with the Omer, the Torah uses the word Karmel. We said, what does Karmel mean? Karmel means rach umal, telling us that the barley has to be soft and crushable. The idea being that the barley itself has to come from soft crop. So that's why ultimately, again, we're bringing it up over here. So we're just bringing other examples of contraction words. So the Gemara goes right through. Omer, kinaf rinanim, ne'elsa. So the Gemara says, we're quoting the pasuk from Iov, kinaf rinanim, ne'elsa. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, kinaf rinanim is a type of bird. Ne'elsa, what does that mean? No sein ola v'nischata. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, ne'elsa, no trikon, no sin bitzasa, this type of bird lifts up its egg. Ola lemala, goes higher. V'nischata umorida bekano, and it traps its young in its nest. So this word nis'alsa means no sin, it lifts up. Ola goes up. Nischata, we'll say nischata in this case doesn't mean sin, but rather nischata means deposit. Va'omer, ki yarat haderech lenegdi, because ultimately again the pasuk says, Va'yomer lav malach Hashem, ma'ikis asasolcha. This is by Bilam. So Bilam says, the Malach says to Bilam, why did you hit your donkey these three times? So Anochi Yatsasi Lesatan, ki yarat haderech lenegdi. What does it mean, ki yarat haderech lenegdi? Yarasa, ra'asa, natasa. Ultimately, again, the donkey saw, and therefore it veered to the side. Devei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Karmel, Karmale. So we'll say back to our regularly scheduled program. So Rabbi Shmuel says, what does Karmel mean? Karmale. It means that when harvesting the barley, one has to harvest mature, ripened barley. Karmel means Karmale. The seed of the barley must be fully mature, that it fills up the husk. Good. Rabbi Akiva Mechai Bechamaisa. So we'll say, now coming back to the major machlokis of the Mishnah. What was the major machlokis of the Mishnah? So remember again, excess barley flour, that's not going to be used for the carbon. What do I do with it? So the halacha is, I could buy it off the Beis HaMikdash. Good, what's its status? When's I buy it off the Beis HaMikdash? It's chulin. Therefore, I'm going to both say, so obviously everyone will agree, let's review, everyone will agree that it's subject to challah. Why? Right, because it only becomes chayv and challah once I knead it into dough. I knead it into dough while it's in my rishus. The shayl is, what about maisus? So the rabbanon say potter from maiser, because maiser identity is determined at shas miruach, at the time that the pile is smooth. Well, at the time that this pile was smooth, it was on by the base midrash. Therefore, exempt. Rabbi Akiva says you're chayv. Says, well, let's analyze this. Omer of Kahana, Omer ha'i Rabbi Akiva miruach hekdesh ena potter. So apparently, it's a very simple idea, that Rabbi Akiva does not subscribe to the idea that even if Meruach, even if the smoothing of the grain pile took place while the grain was owned by the Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Akiva does not say that that exempts the produce from future liability for Maestris. So they will say, so straightforward. Now, why that is, we'll have to see. So massive Rav Sheshes, So Rav Sheshes raises a kasha. Moser shlosh sin halolah mahayu osinbo. So the Brice as well says as follows. What would they do with the excess flour from the three saw? What would they do with it? So mahayu osinbo. Nifta v'ne'echal l'chol adam. So we'll say it was redeemed, and it was eaten by everyone. V'chayiv v'chala, and it would be, right, and it's chayiv and chala, u'pate min ha'maisrus, and ultimately, again, it's pate from ma'isr. Rabbi Akiva mechayiv v'chala u'b'maisrus. So Rabbi Akiva says that no, it is chayiv and chala, which we'll say, remember, that no one's disagreeing with. Rabbi Akiva holds it's also chayiv and ma'isr. Amru lo. So this is Rabbi Akiva, I don't understand. How can you say that it's chayiv in, how can you say that it's chayiv in maestros? After all, poda miyad gizbar yochiach. Let's just take a simple case of where you go ahead and what? Where Rabbi say you have something that is owned by produce. Forget about Omer for just a moment. Produce that is owned by the Beis HaMikdash. And a grain. And I go ahead and I redeem it. I buy it from the Beis HaMikdash. Thereby redeeming that grain. Shechayiv bechal. Both is such a situation is chayiv in chala, right? Again, that's what we'll say. That's not subject to this. Everybody agrees. Upatem in amaisrus, and it's pater from maisr. In other words, Rabbi Akiva, this is Beis HaMikdash redemption 101. That's when you go ahead and you buy property or you buy grain off the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be chayiv in chala because it becomes a dough in my rishos, and therefore again there's a chayiv of chala, but it's pater from meiser because the din or the obligation of meiser is determined at shas miruach, at the smooth time the pile was smooth. When this pile was smooth, it was owned by who? Owned by the Beis HaMikdash, therefore pater from meisers, to which the Gemara says, v'emisa demiruach hekdesh ena pater. And if you want to say that halacha lemaisa miruach hekdesh, if the pile is smooth when it is owned by the Beis HaMikdash, ain't no pater, it's not pater from Maestros, my ka'amar lei. Ultimately, again, then what are they responding to Rabbi Akiva? So we'll say, so again, it seems to be that we think Rabbi Akiva agrees in principle with this concept that if produce is owned by the Beis HaMikdash at the time of miruach, at the time that the pile was smoothed, then what? Then it is exempt ultimately again from Maestros. If that's the case, why does he disagree in the situation of the excess Omer flour that is redeemed? To which the Gemara says, hee-hee. To which the Gemara says, hee-hee means what? Rabbi Akiva, in fact, disagrees with all of these cases. Even so what the Gemara is suggesting over here, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, hee-hee, kilomar, kiehechi, dehocha, pligi, hachanami, pligi, bepoldimi ad gizmar. To which the Gemara answers, both say, no. Rabbi Akiva actually disagrees in all of these cases. That Rabbi Akiva's shita rabosai is that, and again we'll have to see why, that halacha lamaisa, any time you are redeeming produce from the Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Akiva's shita is, it becomes subject to trumas and maestros. This stands in contradistinction to everyone else who says that certainly by meiser the identity of the item is locked in at the shas miruach. So if it is owned by the Beis HaMikdash at the shas miruach, even if it subsequently becomes owned by a private individual, it does not again become subject to the laws of trumas and meisrus. Va'od esir. Also here we go. Va'od esir. Rav Kana bar Tachlif v'Rav Kana b'Masir. Rabbi Kiva mechayi b'chalu meisrus lefi shelo nitnu maos. Oh, listen to this. Well, so here we go. This is actually amazing. So why is that? Let's analyze this for just a moment. So why is it? Forget about the rest of the world. This Omer. Why is it that Rabbi Akiva holds that when I buy the excess barley flour from the Beis HaMikdash, that flour now becomes subject to Meiser? Even though what? Even though, Rabbi, so again, this is a Bam Kash, even though what? Even though it was owned by the Beis HaMikdash at the Shas Miruach, and even though, again, the Meister identity of grain is determined at the time of Miruch, time that the grain pile is smooth. At the time the grain pile was owned by the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is not obligated in Shumas and Meisters. Yet now, once I buy it, it does become Chayiv and Meister. Why is that? To which the Gemara says, is amazing. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Lefi shalom nitnu ma'oz elo letzorech lahem. Because what's at the end of the day, retroactively, the Beis HaMikdash only had an interest in what? In the one isaron of barley flour. Meaning we knew from the beginning that more than was necessary was harvested, more than was necessary was processed. the Beis HaMikdash never wanted to own anything more than that Yisaron. Therefore, it turns out, Rabbi said, that any excess flour was really what? This is very interesting. Was Lemafreya, retroactively, essentially, according to Rabbi Akiva, never really owned by the Beis HaMikdash. Because it was never really owned by the Beis HaMikdash, therefore what? Therefore, it is subject to the halachos of Trumos and Maisos. Look at Rashi. L'fishol nitnu ma'os hekdesh ela b'tzorech lahem lisaron avala acher lo kidesh. The remaining part of the flour, I'll say, the remaining part beyond the Yisaron was really never really sanctified. Hilchoch lav meiruach hekdeshu. Therefore, it's not considered as if the pile was smooth when owned by the Beis HaMikdash. D'halav kidush alma meiruach poter v'achim u'shul lo nitnu ma'os. Rabbi Kiva says, I don't disagree that if produce was smoothed out at the time when owned by the Beis HaMikdash, that it's exempt from Eiser. This case is different. This case, from the beginning, we harvested 3 sa'ah of barley, knowing full well that what? We only had an interest in what? In what? In one Yisaron. We'll say Yisaron, not even one sa'ah. One Yisaron, which means from the beginning we knew we were never going to retain, we'll call it 90% of the barley that was harvested. Because of that, it never really belonged to the Beis HaMikdash. Because that, Rabbi Akiva says, it's not considered owned by the Beis HaMikdash at the Shas Miruach. And therefore, when I, an individual, subsequently buys it, it is subject to the laws of Shumas and Maestros. Ela Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Talmud Aruchu B'Fiv Shal Rabbi Akiva. So we'll say, so again, Rabbi Yochanan says, you're right, this indeed is the position of Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rabba, pshitali, demiruach hekdesh poter, vafilu Rabbi Akiva, lo kamachayiv hasam, elo shlo nitnu mos, elo tzorach lehen, ava miruach hekdesh ba'alma poter. And we'll say, indeed, the Gemara says, you're right, even Rabbi Akiva, so what's fascinating about this is as follows. The core concept is everyone agrees with, which is that when you have produce that is owned by the Beis HaMikdash at the Shas Miruach, at the time that the pile is smooth, everyone will agree that what? That it is exempt from Meister. And I will say, even if that grain subsequently is redeemed and bought by a regular guy, it does not become subject again to the din of Meister. It's Meister exempt property forever. It becomes Chayiv in Chala, because Chalav obligation doesn't devolve upon it until later on. The machlokis over here is what the status ultimately of the barley, the excess barley grain is. The Rabbanon will say, it's still owned by the Beis HaMikdash. Because it's still owned by the Beis HaMikdash, therefore what? It's Meister exempt. And even though you subsequently go ahead and purchase it, it is still Meister exempt. Ultimately, again, Rabbi Akiva comes along and Rabbi Akiva says, no. Halach l'maisa, because the Beis HaMikdash from the beginning, that it didn't have an interest ultimately again in what? In the majority of that barley, therefore it was never really, the only part owned by the Beis HaMikdash is the Yisaron. The rest of it is effectively chulin from the beginning. Therefore, once I go ahead and purchase it, it is in fact, here's the chab. It's not the pshat that once I purchase it, it becomes chayiv in Meiser, but rather what? Rather what? It was always chayiv in Meiser. In other words, it was never Meiser exempt property. That is the sheet of Rabbi Kir. So we'll stop for today. We're going to pick up, we're not finished with this machlokas, we're going to pick up with it tomorrow. So there would be no din me'ilah. That is correct. That is correct. Thank you. I didn't have to. I did not. So, Rabbi Kiddush,